Get ready. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Comedy Jace, your host.
And I'm Paul Henderson, your semi-regular guestish co-host.
And this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 176 and it is the Game Awards.
It's woo, Game Awards. We made it.
We are live on
Twitch.
We
literally just finished watching it.
Yep, we are live on Twitch. But if you're listening to this...
The show ended about 5 minutes ago?
Barely. I mean, just about. But yes, if you're listening to this after the fact on Friday, then welcome to whatever this is going to be. So
this is going to be a mess. I'm going to be honest with y'all.
Yeah. So there was no prep gone into this because
nope.
I fully expect every Game Awards show to be a mess. And
yeah.
This was better, but like it's a small margin of error really with the Game Awards. So, if you're in the chat on Twitch, say hello. Hello, Susan. Thank you for the raid from Boston Radio.
I warned Jason in advance that I was going to be toasted for this one. Now, okay. So there's a little bit of backstory to this one.
To be fair. Yeah.
Back in 2019. Was it 2019?
Something like that.
A couple years ago, I showed up on the post Game Awards show that we did a couple years ago, and that was before I was some other guests. So I was like, hey, you know what? Have me on. It'll be fun. It'll be great. Or Jace was like, hey, come on the show. It'll be fun. It'll be great. One of those two things. And then I was like, just so you know, Jace, in advance, I'm gonna be maybe a little drunk before I show up. I've been drinking. I'm gonna be a little drunk. And then I showed up just completely. Fucking blitzed. Like the most drunk I have ever been recorded, except maybe like one other Twitch stream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite there. I'm very, very close.
Well, so, we shall see in about 45 minutes to an hour where we end up.
And I also have what is called a Texas Two-Step in front of me. This is a Lone Star mixed with
about
a shot and a half of liquor.
And Lone Star is a beer, Daniels. Right?
Lone Star is a beer, yes. So this is beer mixed with about a shot and a half of Jack Daniels whiskey.
That sounds nice.
And it's delicious. It's actually not bad.
I've had a small bit of legal substances here in New York State, so
hell yeah,
we should be fine. We should have a good time.
This will be a peak episode of the Weekly Cooldown.
So as we said, the Game Awards just happened. The Game Awards 2022, hosted by Jeff Keighley, a man who I can only describe as the most nervous gamer on earth. Truly just a very kind of like, this is my baby kind of person, which I completely resonate with, but he could be a little looser.
He clearly loves video games.
Yes.
Like, it's apparent that, I mean, first of all, his goal is to make money, like any good capitalist.
Sure.
But his second goal is to present the video games to the masses.
Yeah.
It's so clear based on his presentation and just his dedication to the cause that... His love is for video games and the craft of making video games. Like, he has to make his money. He has to grab his bag, like any good, like anybody else, like any good American or Canadian,
for sure,
in his case. But
he's just like,
it's clear the love is there for him.
Pins and needles, though. He must be like really weird with people, but like really good with games.
Well, okay, so one thing I love about Jeff Keighley is that, as a host, he doesn't shy away from the mistakes.
Sure.
Right? Like, any time that some fucked up stuff happens on his show.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't really have a chance to address what happened at the end of his show today with the random child storming the stage and blessing Bill Clinton, our favorite rabbi.
We will definitely talk about that.
He didn't really have a chance to address that one. That was fucking weird. But, like, all the instances of things that have happened in the past... In the video game awards, he's not he hasn't, like, ignored them. He's addressed them, he's talked about them, and he's made jokes about them. Like, I mean, fuck, the voice actor from God of War, I'm totally blanking on his name right now.
Christopher Judge.
Yeah, that speech that went for, like, 15 minutes or something. It was insane. He was making jokes about it afterwards, and then immediately afterwards, he went out into the crowd and was like, hey, by the way, we're cool. That wasn't a problem. Which was super cool of him. But, like, that was a ridiculous speech. A good speech. I liked it.
Chris
it
was, Judge
it was,
is great.
It was also, it was very rambling, like, and all over the place, but also I appreciate it.
He certainly needed to get played off, yes. Yeah, he did get played off. We do love Chris Judge in this house, though.
Oh, yeah, no. He was great. That speech was whack.
It was. It came from the heart, though. You know.
It did. It did. You like, cannot. He talked as exactly as long as he felt like he needed to, which in his case was 10 minutes.
10-15 minutes.
Mm-hmm, 10-15 minutes.
So we got some of the pre-show, which had some reveals. Some first of all, let's talk about some of those gaming reveals at the pre-show. We got a really cool look at the Dead Cells Castlevania kind of crossover content that's coming.
Which I usually have a pretty tight ear on leaks for games. I actually was not aware of the Dead Cells Castlevania leak.
It seemed to be surprising.
Which it was a leak, I'm pretty sure. It had been leaked at some point, but, like, I think people either wrote it off or didn't care about it. That was super good. That trailer fucking slapped. I don't really know much about Dead Cells. From what I understand, it's sort of is it a roguelike Metroidvania?
That's, I think, what most people would say about it, yes.
Yeah, I'm just gonna look up stuff about it because I'm totally blanking on it. Okay, so what I know about Dead Cells is the entirety of my knowledge of Dead Cells is I watched somebody do what was called a roguelike decathlon.
Okay.
Which is, like, they played through 5 different roguelike games in a row from start to finish without dying.
Sure.
And their goal was to... Yeah, I don't know about Dead Cells. Sorry, Richard. Their goal was to get from start to finish of each of these 5 roguelikes. It was, like, Rogue Legacy, Dead Cells, Spelunky, Binding of Isaac, and a 5th one that I can't remember that off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the Dead Cells was one of those games, if I remember correctly. And it's interesting to me that they were able to buy into a Castlevania. It seems like a fully fledged DLC based on Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah. I mean, especially given how big Castlevania has been over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
From, like, the Netflix thing to, like, some other video games that have come out around it. It's a really nice crossover, and I'm sure.
Yeah.
Dead Cells and Castlevania fans the world over are having a blast. And
considering how weird things have been with Konami lately, just it seems like they've been really working over the past couple of years to regain some of the goodwill that they fucking torched.
Yeah. Very interesting. We got to look at, let's see, Vampire Survivors coming to mobile. I don't really have any stake in any mobile games, so, like, good for them. Returnal coming on PC, which looks like a lot of fun to play with friends, so good on it for coming onto PC. We got a look at the Xbox app coming onto Samsung TVs, so now you can just play Bluetooth Xbox controller straight to your TV.
I'm gonna back up just a little bit. It seems to me that the Vampire Survivors on mobile going fully free to play seems like a direct competitor to 20 Minutes Till Dawn.
Okay.
If you don't know, 20 Minutes Till Dawn is a game that is also out on Steam, and it's a $5 game. It came out in June and was actually advertised, at least in part, as inspired by Vampire Survivor, which is great. I don't have a problem with that. It seems to me like Vampire Survivor coming to so for the record, 20 Minutes Till Dawn on mobile is also a free-to-play game, and it seems to me like Vampire Survivor coming to mobile almost seems like it's coming back to compete against 20 Minutes Till Dawn on mobile, which is an interesting juxtaposition to me, and something that I'm interested to see how Vampire Survivors on mobile works out. I imagine it might be a similar situation where it's like there's a free it's a free to play game and there's currency that you can earn in the game. The way 20 Minutes Till Dawn works out, and the only reason I know about this is because I actually got an ad for it the other day and I downloaded it out of curiosity, is you only get the initial character and the initial weapon when you start the game, and mm-hmm. there's currency that you can earn by playing the game, mm-hmm. and the currency you can also buy in the free-to-play game, of course, because they got to make their money somehow.
Right.
And I imagine it's going to be similar to Vampire Survivor. Where you're going to be able to buy the characters to play through the game, but also it's going to be a currency you'll probably be able to earn through gameplay. Now, it didn't seem very predatory to me in 20 Minutes Till Dawn, so I'm hoping if Vampire Survivor follows a similar tack, it'll be relatively I totally blanked on the word that I just said. Predatory. It'll be unpredatory, that it'll be like, you know, you can earn the currency and it'll be relatively low barrier of entry. That's what it seemed like in the brief period of time I spent with 20 Minutes Till Dawn. And I've watched Richard, who is also in the chat, play a little bit of 20 Minutes Till Dawn in the Steam version, and it seemed like a pretty solid game. So I'm hoping Vampire Survivor will follow a similar tack. It'll be sort of like a freemium game where it's like, if you really, really want to buy stuff, you can buy into it, but for the most part it'll be a pretty low-key chill time. That's what I'm hoping.
Fingers crossed. For Vampire Survivors and 20 Minutes Till Dawn. Is that like a zombie game? It sounds like a zombie game.
20 Minutes Till Dawn?
Yeah.
It's just basically the same kind of game as Vampire Survivor. I don't really know if it's zombies or not.
Oh, okay. Anytime there's like a time of day in the game, I'm like, oh, this is a zombie thing, isn't it?
There's like floating monster blobby dudes. It's, you play as a person, they are in a arena, you fight a bunch of monsters, except in this case it's a bunch of it's still pixel art, but this time they're all kind of cute girls.
Oh, okay.
Which is fine by me.
Sure, something like that.
Survival against hordes, so you level up. Exactly. Zexeegs in the chat just said that's exactly correct.
Very cool, very cool, very cool. Hi, Zex. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the chat. There was... First of all, we'll talk about winners in a minute before we continue on with the kind of reveals that we saw during this, just to get the winners out of the way and then, you know, talk about the big, big news. But there was a game called Post Trauma that they showed in the pre-show that looked like everything I've ever loved about any video game.
That... gave me some real heavy Silent Hill vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And I need it now, and I want it now. It just looked really good. The character looked very average, which is like mind blown, right? Because usually characters, even in horror games, are very like pretty. this guy looks kind of like, I work security here for $15 an hour.
So, like, literally the first frame they showed of that game, and I'm looking at the trailer on Steam, which, by the way, the Steam page is already up.
Yeah, of course it is.
Literally the first thing they show is, like, it's, like, an image of three people who look like, it's just, like, a repeating image that says, drink, drink, drink. And it seems to indicate this person has fallen heavy into alcoholism and is using that to cope with some sort of horrible shit that has happened in their life. So, interested to see where that post-trauma game goes. Looks very survival horror-y. Looks very interesting. I'm pretty excited to see it.
Very cool. Very cool. We got to look at Street Fighter 6. DJ looks good.
DJ looks fine.
DJ looks good.
DJ is a returning character from
DJ
previous,
looks like Capcom cared for once.
Yeah. I just realized I jumped way forward. DJ is a returning character and a lot of new characters. Mano looks super interesting to me. I'm like kind of spaced out a little by Mano because she just she has the name of somebody I knew in high school.
Oh, interesting.
And she was kind of a jerk, but
very interesting.
That's literally like my brain just goes Mano. Ugh.
That's pretty funny. Well, we'll see more about some of these games very soon, hopefully.
Street Fighter comes out June 2nd.
That's correct. Street Fighter comes out June 2nd. We also got to look at so Tekken soon. 8 during the pre-show.
What was that?
Tekken 8.
Wait, was Tekken 8 during the pre-show, really?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, Paul let his hair down.
Paul let his hair down.
At first I thought it was Bob, honestly.
Yeah. Right, I was like, oh, that's Bob. No, it's Paul.
No, apparently it's Paul. I saw it and it was like, oh, it's a dude with his hair down. He's kind of a larger dude. That's Bob. But no, I that was either Paul or it was Skinny Bob, and I don't think they would bring Skinny Bob back because that was like a joke character from Tekken Tag.
Yeah. Also, I was wrong. That was not in the pre-show, but it's worth talking about. Anyway.
It wasn't okay. Well, I mean, Tekken 8. The thing about Tekken 8 is. It looks like more Tekken, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like they really did anything particularly spectacular to change the game up, which I think it's fine for Tekken. Yeah, yeah, like Tekken, fine. Tekken doesn't need much. I am interested to see what Tekken does. According to Richard, Skinny Bob was made just so Bob Mains could play Bob in play Bob only in Tekken Tag 2, which I believe.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, if Paul's losing his Polnareff hair, I wonder if they're going to try and make him a more serious character. Because, like, I mean, Flat Top Paul is great, but he's not a character you can take very seriously. He looks like a cartoon character.
Yeah.
In a relatively realistic-looking game.
Well, in any case, those are just some of the things that we saw revealed in the pre-show. Before we get to things that were revealed in the actual show, let's talk about the actual awards. So, there are a few that I want to focus on, but I'd like you to take, like, some fun ones before we get to the obvious ones, like Game of the Year and all that stuff. So, tell us what's on your mind with some of these awards.
Is there a list of the games that won the awards? Because I'm going to be honest, I kind of blanked them out.
I will put this in the chat for everyone to follow along. There's a lot of awards, obviously, for God of War.
So Elden Ring, God of War. God of War. Yeah, it's kind of a God of War sweep, wasn't it?
I was expecting God of War to win less, quite frankly. And I was also expecting them to win Game of the Year. Spoiler alert, they did not. But it really still was their night to kind of shine here. One of the things I will say that I'm happy about is, first of all, that Tunic and Stray were both nominated for the indie scene. Stray won both Best Indie and Best Debut Indie. Despite what you may think about Stray, I agree with that. I love Stray so much.
I also want to give Immortality big ups for being nominated for 3 awards despite not winning of them. Immortality, so... Just to lay the cards on the table, Immortality is not a game that I've played, but I've read a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks in part to somebody who I followed on Twitter before I abandoned the Twitter platform, Kat Manning, who used to work at Riot, now works at Firaxis Games. She was a very heavy proselytizer of Immortality and was the reason that I was aware of it. It's a FMV game that came out this year, and... I can't remember who made it exactly, but they made a couple other FMV games in the past few years, and that just were really high profile indie games.
Sure.
And for anybody who hasn't heard of Immortality, if you like FMV games, if you like horror games, and if you like games that really fucking stretch your brain and really make you work to earn the ending that you feel like you deserve, I think Immortality is the game for you. Immortality is not the game for me, but Immortality was a game that I very much liked reading about. There are certain games that I'm just like, I can't fucking play.
Do you think it's one of those games that might be worth watching someone play?
Yes, I actually think it would be. There are a few games that I had like that. Five Nights at Freddy's, actually, for me at least.
Really?
Just because I can't do jump scares. So, like, the whole Five Nights at Freddy's series, I just watched somebody play it on YouTube, and I had a fucking jump scare guide that somebody put in the comments graciously for people like me who can't do jump scares.
Balance.
I think Immortality might be that kind of game. Now, I will say, from the people who have talked about Immortality, they are very... empathetic. They're very emphatic, rather. They're very emphatic about, hey, if you're gonna play Immortality, if you're interested in Immortality, don't read anything about it. Just go buy it on Steam and go play it. So I'm going to give you the pitch. Immortality is an FMV game where you watch a bunch of FMVs and you scan through them. And you, by the process of scanning through them, learn more about the story of the game.
Okay.
If that sounds interesting to you, it's like Night Trap, but good.
Yeah.
if that is interesting to you, just stop looking up anything else about Immortality. Go check it out right now. Go buy it and go fucking enjoy that game. If you're like me and you're a fucking bitch who can't handle that shit,
stop.
Go read the TV tropes about it and then watch a YouTube video about it, because
okay.
It will be extremely your shit, but also you're a bitch like me and you can't handle it.
Oh my goodness.
Immortality Fantastic. Is a cool game. I just wish I had the heart to actually play it.
Some people in the chat agree with you about scary, spooky games.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed in Best Action Game. So the nominees in that were Bayonetta 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Neon White, Sifu, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Shredder's Revenge.
And Bayo ended up winning that, right?
Yes. And, like, I get it, right? It's probably the most voted for game. I just feel like Neon White or Sifu, which was widely talked about for a very long time, may have edged them out, in my opinion.
I am embarrassed to admit that I have not played either Sifu or Neon White. Neon White especially. I am incredibly embarrassed that I've never played Neon White. Neon White, when I heard about it, I was immediately like, oh my god, this is like the peak weeb shit. This is like, they literally got Steve Bloom to voice the main character in the game because it was peak weeb shit. And I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. I followed it on my work Twitter right away. I was like, the moment I heard about Neon White, I followed it on my work Twitter.
What's his name, isn't it? Tom from Konami. I can't remember his name.
That's Steve Bloom.
Yes, Steve Bloom.
And I still haven't other voice played actor it. Daddy. And that's like, I think that's my greatest miss in 2022 is that I haven't played Neon White yet.
I think it's
worth it. I'm literally gonna buy it on Steam right now. Hold on.
Made partly by the same people who made Stray, Annapurna Interactive. Yes.
Fun fact: Neon White is 20% off on Steam right now, which means I'm definitely going to buy it.
Actually, that is. Actually a good point to make to listeners. I believe into tomorrow or the weekend, all the nominees are on sale. So like if there's any game on this that you haven't played yet that you want to play, go check it out. It could be on sale right now. But yeah, I don't know. I think Bayonetta 3 was probably fine. I actually haven't played it, so maybe I'm dead wrong about it, but I feel like there are some other games on here that may have been a better competitor here. I'm also surprised that the Call of Duty fanboys are not doing as good of a job lately.
I expected Call of Duty to do better than it did, because typically Call of Duty at least picks up a couple of awards. And I'm not just saying that because I used to work for Blizzard, but I mean, the thing is, the Call of Duty games are always good, right? Like, no matter how much controversy there is around Call of Duty, how much controversy there is around Activision Blizzard, Call of Duty games are always solid. And as a result, they usually pick up at least one award, either soundtrack or something. Like, soundtrack, multiplayer. No awards for Call of Duty this year. That was actually surprising to me. Oh, excuse me.
Very, well nominated, but not picking up any awards.
And I have now bought Neon White, by the way.
There you go. We're ready. We're ready for Neon White. That's right. So let's see. Best fighting game. Interesting.
I thought King of Fighters was going to win.
I did too. Just based on the fact that of the fighting games on that list, I think the most two talked about were King of Fighters and Multiverses, and that's saying something.
I DNF thought either Duel, King of Fighters or DNF Duel was going
to
win.
DNF Duel, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and Sifu were on the list as well. But Multiverses ended up with the win. Interesting. I think the interesting thing about this is that there weren't many fighting games that came out this year. So just it was a toss up between like which one are people playing versus which one came out this year that deserves an award.
Yeah, in my brain I was like, oh, of course, Guilty Gear Strive. No, Guilty Gear Strive came out last year. That was a summer 2021 game.
Mm-hmm. We cannot vote for that game. Unfortunate as that is, but I thought that was going to be an interesting discussion. Fighting games being what they are, especially now, very popular.
Now, of all the games on this list of games that won awards, the two most deserving that I totally understand and totally agree with are for Best Family and Best Sim Strategy, respectively, Kirby and the Forgotten Land and Mario plus Rabbit Spark of Hope. Now, I didn't think Mario plus Rabbit Spark of Hope was going to win, mm-hmm. but... And I will say, I didn't play Mario Rabbit Spark of Hope, but I played the other game, Mario plus Rabbits. I can't remember the subtitle, but that was a fucking solid strategy game. Like, a really fucking good strategy game. And if I know anything about how Ubisoft is going to handle that, the sequel for that, like, that's a fucking Mario XCOM game. Mm-hmm. How can you fucking miss with that? That is so goddamn good. And then Kirby and the Forgotten Land. Like, okay, Splatoon 3, so just to reiterate, the Best Family Games nominees were, like, Nintendo Traveler's Tales, yes. Nintendo. It was yep. Kirby, Lego Star Wars, Mario plus Rabbids, Nintendo Switch Sports for some reason, and Splatoon 3. Splatoon 3 wasn't going to win because it was a cool game, but it wasn't a good family game. Like, that's a game you play in multiplayer. Lego Star Wars was probably the biggest contender there, but Kirby and the Forgotten Land absolutely goddamn deserved that award. Like, yeah. Holy shit, that is such a fucking good game.
Yeah.
Like, if I had a kid, I would 100% be like, hey, child, go play Kirby.
I was tweeting the entire time that Splatoon 3 deserves every award, and then they got best multiplayer, so I was like, all right, I got one. most anticipated, I thought was really
That's
interesting.
That's not a real reward.
So, just saying, I agree with you, and here's why. Jeff Keighley said it himself. This is the 100% player-based vote award. So, like, there's no industry input to this. They pick the ones that players...
I thought that was the best community support.
No, most anticipated.
Really?
And so the choices were Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4, Starfield, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
The fact that Hogwarts Legacy was even fucking nominated
is
also a goddamn joke.
I thought the same thing, and so did the audience. Apparently there's clips of people, like, groaning and being completely
boos.
Silent.
There were boos.
Yeah. So, there are some favorites on here, though. I mean, like, I would have guessed that Starfield or Resident Evil 4 would have been the winner here, but it ended up being Tears of the Kingdom, which isn't surprising, but to, like, again, edge out the competition of what I think are way more talked about games is very, very interesting. And, like, Jeff Keighley also mentioned that there were a lot of bots that voted on this.
Yeah, they were like, after we eliminated all the bots.
Yep.
So to me, the most anticipated would have been a toss-up between Starfield and Tears of the Kingdom, right? Because it's like 16, I think everybody reasonably expects with Yoshi P at the helm, it's going to be fine. With the fucking race stuff, we're gonna talk about that here. I don't feel qualified to talk about that. Hogwarts Legacy is a fucking bomb. It's gonna be a. Here's the thing. Hogwarts Legacy. Let me state. Hogwarts Legacy is going to be a good video game. I'm 100% confident that Hogwarts Legacy is going to be a good video game. The setting it is in is so fucking toxic.
Unfortunately.
That it doesn't matter.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
I feel legitimately bad for everybody at Portkey Games. Like, I worked at Blizzard.
Yep.
Right?
Unfortunate.
I don't think I can need to say much more than that.
No, you're right. It's a message received.
Resi 4 Remake is going to be fucking good. You don't really need to anticipate it. Just buy it. It's going to be good. It's going to be really fucking good.
That's a really interesting way to take the word anticipated. You're right.
For me, anticipated is it going to be good? for me, Starfield and Tears of the Kingdom are most anticipated because I don't fucking know, right? Like, in my brain, I'm like, Starfield's going to be a jank mess made by Bethesda, but it's going to be fine.
You're
and
right.
Fucking, like, in Tears of the Kingdom, it's a sequel to Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild was good, but for like, a certain subset of people, it was also not Zelda, right? So, to me, the title of most anticipated is most deserved mm-hmm. by Starfield and Tears of the Kingdom, because those games are uncertain.
Yeah.
Resi 4 is going to be good. Final Fantasy 16 is going to be a Final Fantasy.
Sure, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely
but
right.
But Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the and Tears of the Kingdom and Starfield, nobody fucking knows, and everybody wants to know. That's why they're anticipated. And Breath of the Wild even more. I think that's why it earns it. Because sure. Starfield, at the end of the day, even if it's not great, it's still...
It's a Bethesda
It's Bethany Esda.
It's Bethany.
It's gonna be fine.
It's Bethany. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
What's the work that I'm making you do, Juan?
What?
What is chat talking about?
I'm pretty sure there may be folks who are like, is he eating in the microphone? That's crazy.
I am 100% eating in the microphone. I'm
that
sorry.
Is so crazy.
I got tamales. So I'm hungry.
Don't eat into the microphone.
You knew I was
turn away.
Drunk. You knew I was gonna be drunk.
Oh yeah. Also, audio levels and clipping. Ghetto, says someone. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
Very this is ghetto. The best goddamn podcast everybody's ever heard. I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's see what we've got here. So we went on to best indie, best ongoing game, Final Fantasy 14. Unfortunately, I mean, not unfortunately, does deserve it. Yeah. I am low-key, like, very side-eye about certain people, Yoshi P. But
I thought it would be Fortnite.
You did?
I did, really. No, because, I mean, especially in season, like, chapter 2, Fortnite is cranked the fuck up.
Sure, you're
just,
right.
Like, just in terms of, like, what the community has received. And, I mean, you can also just be like, wow, they've got massive licensing deals. Everybody yeah. loves licensing. Mm-hmm. They got fucking Mr. Beast in the new chapter. Everybody yeah, loves yeah. Mr. Beast. He has $5 bajillion. But like,
yeah,
I think just in terms of like a good free-to-play model, mm-hmm. they've sort of been a front runner.
You're absolutely right about that. Deku's going to be in Fortnite pretty soon. From the My Hero Academia.
I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, and he's going to have his cool smash, and you're going to be able to get that in there, so...
Oh.
It's,
like from Texas.
The Texas smash?
The smash from Texas.
The smash from Texas. That's correct. But you're pretty right about that. Don't tell anyone. This isn't being recorded, but I have been playing Fortnite recently.
We have talked about Fortnite so many goddamn times.
We have, and it finally got to me, and I downloaded the game, and I started playing it, and I've been having a really good time, and I'm a little upset about it, actually. But, having said that, you have a good point. I didn't really think about how Fortnite has, like, pretty good staying power, actually. Like,
yeah.
edged out a whole lot of Battle Royale competition.
Over the past couple of years. I mean, if nothing else, just the raw amount of content that they mm-hmm, push out mm-hmm. each season is just insane.
Yeah.
I feel kind of bad for the developers, but I mean, they do what they do.
Yeah. They made a really not so great looking, I gotta say, Geralt from The Witcher. But he's in there too now, so, you know, the Witcher fans can have their Geralt skin.
Let me just Google that real quick. He looks fine.
I have opinions. As a newly baptized Fortnite player, I have opinions.
Right. You know what my hot take is? I think Geralt looks better than fucking Doomguy.
That is valid, but it makes up for it to see Doom Guy do like cute TikTok dances.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so I think I see where you're coming from. Geralt looks like, okay, other than the fact that he has gray hair, he looks like he's like 35 years old, right?
Yeah.
And Geralt is supposed to look like a cranky old man.
Yeah.
I don't like how Doomguy's armor looks.
It doesn't look that great. It does not look that great.
Let's agree that they both could be better.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Handshake emoji. Absolutely.
We're on video. We can do this on Twitch. Hey. On twitch.tv/comedyjustgaming.
There you go. Let's do best action adventure game. This was a God of War takeaway. But in this category was also a Plague Tale Requiem, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Tunic.
I'm grumpy about this, not because God of War Ragnarok didn't deserve it, but because this genre doesn't mean anything anymore.
Sure.
So for full disclosure, I was watching the Game Awards with my roommates, Marcy and Les, and literally the moment they announced the category, I was like, this category doesn't mean anything. This would have meant something in like maybe mid-aughts, early, late 90s.
Yeah,
what is action adventure now?
Yeah.
Okay, so the action adventure game Stray is an action adventure game.
Sure.
What?
I think so.
Tunic
and Stray have similar vibes. Horizon Forbidden West and Stray, similar vibes.
What the fuck is an action adventure game in 2022? Tell me.
The same could be said, unfortunately, for sports and racing games, which get lumped in the same category together. Best sports and racing game, F1 22, FIFA 23, NBA 2K23, Gran Turismo 7, and Ollie Ollie World.
The fact like, that sports and racing is lumped together feels bad. I mean, I think if nothing else, racing is distinct from other sports, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I think so. Absolutely. See, like F1 like, and Gran Turismo should yeah, just be in their own category. Those should be
category. Their own categories with, like, a rally racing game or something.
Right.
But no, they're just like, I mean, okay, so don't get me wrong. I consider racing to be sports.
But it's a. It's
but why are you calling different. It sports slash racing? Just call it sports.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It should just be sports game.
That's also true. If you're going to lump them in, just
call them all sports games. That's fine. Just like
make it be sports.
Fuck it. I mean, racing is so goddamn hard as a physical thing that you do. Mm-hmm. You don't need to. But then if you're going to lump in, I guess the reason for this is like for arcade racing games, which there aren't really any arcade racing games in this split. But
I guess, yeah.
But like Mario Kart would go in this. Crash Team Racing would go in this. I think sports and racing should be their own distinct categories. Maybe there just weren't enough games to.
Well, there's definitely not enough games. Absolutely.
And Metal Mystical is making a very good point in the chat. That's why Sifu was nominated under fighting games. Sifu is not a fighting game. Sifu,
no.
In my opinion, Sifu should either be under action or action adventure, whatever the fuck that means. It should not be a fighting game.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
it hits similar beats as a fighting game. There's like parrying, there's blocking, there's a lot of stuff that you do in fighting games in Sifu. It's not that kind of game.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, very true, very true. Let's move on to the final category of the evening. We're skipping over a whole bunch, but that's okay. This is only an hour.
Game of the year.
So in that category, A Plague Tale, Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Now, I have two notes. Okay. One, it was never going to be anything else but Elden Ring. Two, it really? Should have fucking been Xenoblade 3. Those sure. are my two notes.
The fact that it was Elden Ring actually surprised me because really? Of how God of War was just sweeping things, right? I was like, oh, it's going to be God of War again.
Here's the thing. It's not an award show. It's the Keighleys. Elden the Ring, Keighleys. if I remember correctly, was announced at the Video Game Awards back
you are
in like
correct.
2018, yes. 2019?
Yeah.
If a game that was announced at the Game Awards didn't end up winning Game of the Year, Keighley would look like a fucking dumbass.
Sure. Especially for a game that was as hyped as Elden Ring and that was as well received as Elden Ring.
I don't think it was going to ever be any game other than Elden Ring. And maybe God of War Ragnarok was good enough to be Game of the Year. I didn't play it. I never played the original. I never played the PS4 God of War. Mm-hmm. I have it on disc. I played it for about an hour. I can't say I played it. That would be disingenuous.
Fair enough.
I don't think anything other than Elden Ring would have won Game of the Year. I genuinely hold that. If God of War had been in a Game of the Year category that Elden Ring didn't exist in, would have won it, no contest. And I'm saying that as somebody who the only two games that I played in the Game of the Year category this year were Xenoblade 3 and Elden Ring. I've played about 10 hours of the original Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
And I've talked about how I feel about Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm on it. And and I think that if it were not for the existence of Elden Ring, it would have been God of War Ragnarok, no question.
Okay.
Actually, now that I think about it, did Horizon win a single award this year? I don't think it did.
Nope. Good question. I've closed the page because
didn't. It didn't win a single award.
That's a shame. I actually really like Horizon. Yeah. But all the same, let's move on to our reveals. Got a whole lot of reveals up.
Hades 2, baby!
Hades 2.
That's all I care about. That's
for all you Hades sluts out there is very exciting.
They made a Hades 2 for the lesbians, and that's all I goddamn care about.
Yeah.
Hades 2 in Armored Core 6.
Hades 2 actually makes me want to finally go play Hades 1, because I haven't
played
it. I
would strongly suggest it. I recently got introduced to a YouTube series or a YouTube video called Why I Will Never Play Hades. And it's about somebody it's very strong start. It's a YouTube video about somebody who is of Greek heritage and talks about why Hades is tough for them and why as a specifically a Greek Canadian, why it is very hard for them to engage with things that are of a what's the word I'm looking for? Things that engage with Greco-Roman myth and especially Greek myths. I think that in order to play Hades, that is required watching. I think it's important to witness that perspective from somebody who is Greek and is also generally ostracized from their community. It's an interesting video to watch. I don't think you should avoid Hades as a result of it.
Sure.
Basically, the video is him being like, I'm sure Hades is a great game. I'm sure Supergiant is a fantastic studio. I can't engage with this for personal reasons. And I think that's a really interesting perspective on it. So I will say, I think that Hades is a fantastic game. And I think it's a really good story. I also think that's a very interesting video to watch if you enjoy Hades. So, Jace, for you specifically, I would say play Hades. Play through the fucking game. Beat it 10 times. Literally 10 times. Exactly 10 times. Beat it 10 times. Go watch that video of why I will never... Let me make sure I got that name right. I will never play Hades. Why I haven't played Hades by Liam Hoot.
That's okay. Why I haven't played Hades.
Play through the game 10 times and then watch... what were my personal reasons? What did I say?
For why you think people should play Hades?
Oh, it's a fucking good game. It's I think the ultimate realization of the roguelike loop, which is wild for me to say because I think the roguelike loop inherently doesn't want you to succeed.
Sure.
But also it really, really does. But Hades really, really wants you to succeed. Like more than the typical roguelike. Yeah. I think most roguelikes, and even the original Rogue itself, which I've never played but I know a lot about, don't inherently want you to necessarily succeed.
Sure.
They want you to enjoy the loop, play the game, and engage with the systems. I don't think they necessarily want you to win, but if you do, hey, cool, you learned how to play the game. Fantastic.
Okay.
The video I just linked, by the way, in the Twitch chat and also to Jace, is 2.5 hours long. It is a whole ass movie. It's a very interesting movie about Greek myths and why they're kind of problematic in other mediums. Sure. But Hades 2 also seems like it's doing some very fucking buck wild stuff with Greek myths. And I'm very interested to see where it goes. It seems to be heavily implied that Zagreus from Hades had a kid somehow.
Yes.
Which is, I don't know what the fuck that means. I genuinely don't know what the fuck that means.
Very Hades, Hades lore for all of you Hades fans.
If there is one thing that I am excited about from the Game Awards, it's Hades 2. Supergiant has never made a sequel before. Jeff Keighley said that, but me and my roommates were talking about that before Jeff pointed that out. Mm-hmm. They made Bastion, they made Pyre, they made Hades.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're making Hades 2. They would not be making Hades 2 if they had a damn good reason for why they were making Hades 2. That is not an accident. That is not just them cashing in on the popularity of Hades. Because if they wanted to cash in on the popularity of Hades, they would have made Bastion 2. Fuck Pyre. Who gives a shit about Pyre? Make Bastion 2. Everybody fucking loved Bastion 2. Bastion 2 was super goddamn popular. No. Transistor was also a game. I'm sorry, I totally forgot about Transistor. I'm sorry, I did not feel anything about Transistor. I still haven't played Pyre or Transistor. Pyre I'm interested in. Transistor I'm not. Sorry. But the fact that they are making Hades 2 means they have a good goddamn reason for making Hades 2.
Yeah. Drink. That's the Paul rant. We did it. We got one in.
I didn't even mean to do it this time.
So as I said earlier, I'm extremely excited about this game, Post-Trauma. I'm always very interested in these kind of psychological type horror video games. So I'm very into that. I was not totally into the Crime Boss game when I heard
that game looks so fucking bad. And that was before they announced Chuck Norris was in it.
I don't even care. Like, Chuck Norris is like, who cares to me? I get why everyone else likes him, but I was like, Danny Trejo, Danny Glover.
The game itself seemed
It looks so dumb. It looks weird and stupid.
I have generally positive feelings about Danny Trejo, if nothing else, because he's an Austin, Texas boy.
There you go. But Texas friend.
But like everything else about that game looked fucking stupid.
The Suicide Squad game looked cool.
I did not know Kevin Conroy was going to be in that game. Was that a new announcement?
That was a new announcement.
I thought so. Because as far as I knew, when it was announced that Kevin Conroy had unfortunately passed away, I immediately checked his Wikipedia page, and the last role for him was the fighting game that we talked about earlier. Smash Brothers type game, DC.
Multiverses.
Kevin Conroy's last role was Batman in Multiverses.
Yep.
So, knowing that his last role will be in an actual Batman specific game rather than like a sort of DC throwing its licenses at thing kind of game, that makes me feel good. I
hope he gets a lot more screen time than it seems like he might, you know.
I'm not expecting Batman to be the crux of the game. I mean, it's killed the Justice League, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be Flash, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman, and Green Lantern, and probably some other dudes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be fucking Justice League Unlimited, where they just chucked in whichever DC hero they wanted to use that week.
Right.
But, I mean, listen, I think he's going to get enough screen time that it's going to be relevant. Killed the Justice League, and Batman was a core member of the Justice League. So
yeah.
I'm glad that the legacy of Kevin Conroy is going to be handled in a game that is dedicated to the universe that Batman exists in, rather than like to be clear, if Multiverses was the last game that Kevin Conroy played Batman in, it would have been fine. Like, I wouldn't have been super torn up about it, but right. I'm glad that it's something more dedicated to him and his legacy and to the universe's legacy rather than just like him being chucked in the Smash. It would be like if Charles Martinet's last game was Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Like, right, that would be fine. Like, Mario is still a linchpin of Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, of Super Smash Brothers, but it would still be sad, right?
Yeah, yeah. We got to look at Ken Levine's new game, Judas, Ken Levine being the creator of BioShock. It looks very BioShock-esque. There's even a kind of, what I would assume is a callback to BioShock 1, in it.
Oh, man.
I love the BioShock games, so I'm very interested in that.
That game just fucking oozes style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The tagline for that game is, fix what you have caused. What the fuck does that mean? I'm
very excited about that. We got to look at Death Stranding 2.
So I was weird about that one because they finally announced on the Kojima Productions Twitter that it is Death Stranding 2. Mm-hmm. But they were very insistent during the entire Game Awards that it was called DS2.
That is true.
DS2. This is DS2.
Yes, so it's probably not. Knowing Kojima, he will switch it up, and it's going to be like door standing or something like that.
So the thing is, the Koji Pro Twitter did announce it as Death Stranding
2. Oh, they did? Okay.
Let me just Stranding 2 Twitter. Yeah, so it was announced as DS2, and according to PlayStation, it is Death Stranding 2. Working title in parentheses.
Okay.
But I would fucking kill if it was just called DS2.
Sure.
For a few different reasons. One, because it's just a sick name. But also, Dark Souls 2.
Oh, sure. You're right. That's really funny.
It just messes with a few people.
It's just stepping on everyone's toes.
But the official title for the game, as far as I can tell, is Death Stranding 2. That's the working title of it.
Working title.
If that'll end up being the final title, who knows? I would love if the final title was just DS2. Like, they fucking KFC'd it and just made the initials actually mean anything.
Sure. Running through a few of these really quick. Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden looked really cool to me. A 1695. It takes place in 1695 in the haunted wilds of North America, which is very interesting. There is a single-player magic first-person shooter called Immortals of Avum that are coming out. No idea what it's going to be like. It kind of looks like an arena shooter or something like that. We also got a look at a Hellboy game, a very stylishly kind of comic book looking Hellboy game.
And I don't really have any strong feelings about Hellboy, but there were two things that
I'm into Hellboy.
Yeah, it's Hellboy, it's sick.
Yeah.
I'm curious who is voicing Hellboy.
Sure, yeah.
I wasn't really paying super close attention to the voice.
I didn't recognize the voice.
And the art style was very, very, very reminiscent of the original comics rather than the movies or any other interpretation. And three, I'm totally blanking on his name, and I feel like an asshole for it, but the guy that made the fucking comic, his name is on the title of the game.
Yes, yes, yes.
It started with or something.
Mike, I'm going to mess up the last name. It is Mike Mignola.
Mike Mignola. There was no H in the name anywhere.
No H. Finally, though, something that really excited me and a few other folks that I know out there. FromSoft revealed Armored Core 6.
Armored Core 6. It's been rumored for like 5 years at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Leaks and rumors for 5 years. Yep. But here it is.
And not to like put too much of a point on it, but like, the first two or three sentences of the teaser trailer were very, very strong Dark Souls pulls.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a long-standing fan theory that the Armored Core series is in the same universe as Dark Souls. And also Elden Ring, but like, I think FromSoft makes one game. So, right. Who knows if that'll actually lead to anything or not, but like, they're literally talking about how embers burn again. And that can also just be a metaphor for the fact that a long dead series is coming back. But right. also, like,
you never know.
The Soul series has very heavily leaned on the imagery of embers and ash and mm-hmm. burning and all that shit. So, like,
you never know.
All I know about Armored Core is that it's like customization hell. You can mm-hmm. make like the most fucking intricately
very
customized mechs. And this is the sixth one in the series. And very I've also learned that apparently the optimal way to play Armored Core is you hold the goddamn controller backwards.
That I did not know, so that's interesting. Very, very interesting.
That sounds insane to me. That can't be right, but apparently that's the way you play Armored yeah. Core. Is okay. You have the shoulder buttons on your thumbs, and the face buttons are on your index fingers.
Mm. That's going to confuse the hell out of me. Well, that's basically it for the Game Awards. I mean, there's tons of other news out there. Definitely go and check out compilation videos.
Are we doing a break for the episode, or is this the whole thing?
No, this is the whole thing.
Oh, shit.
Because we have to get to this one kind of annoying piece of news that did happen also at the Game Awards.
The little French boy.
So, it's a lot. So, over the past, like, hour, this story has evolved, like, three times.
Has it really? Because yes. I have not been following it at all, so you're going to be delivering this news to me in real time.
Yes. So, if you haven't been paying attention to Twitter or anything like that, this is the first time I'm dropping the news to you, visit the Weekly Cooldown more often, because that's what I do here. Anyways, let's do this. So, while the team from Elden Ring was up on the stage giving their speech, there was a young little boy in the back, a French boy, we found out, as he took the microphone after the rest of the team was done. He got up and said something about Rabbi Bill Clinton. If you want the whole quote, go look it up. It turns out that this person was then arrested
Jesus Christ.
for interrupting the Game of the Year moment. And then we found out that this person was a guest on InfoWars. That is the show with... that is the show with Alex Jones, is a apparent groiper. If you don't know what that is, please also go look that up. Because I that is the last time.
One more time for me?
Okay. This is the second and last time I will almost say this word on the show. Groiper. G-R-O-Y-P-E-R. It was ridiculous. And... apparently that was his whole thing, right? He wanted to get up there and cause a scene.
Okay.
He's basically kind of alt-right dog whistling, more or less. Yeah. So it's still kind of a working story, as it were, but I mean, it's trending on Twitter right now like crazy. People are still kind of parroting the sentiment, despite the fact that we have like rolling information coming out.
Yeah.
So wow. You know, very.
I'm Jewish.
Right. Yes. Very. I don't know. It seems like a breach of security, right? Like that kid followed them up there, and no one did anything.
So, like. Something similar happened at the Oscars when Will Smith just walked up on stage. Like, nobody was able to stop him, right?
Sure. Yes. I would... My only argument to that is that, like, this was some kid who wasn't supposed to be there. Like, Will Smith is at least a guest there who was being, like, given an award.
That's a fair point. Richard, or not Richard, Mellow Mystical and Chad point out people know who Will Smith is. This was just some random child.
This was just some kid who decided not only was he going to go to the Game Awards and get close enough to, like, sneak on stage, but ended up doing it and causing a really whole lot of trouble.
That does explain why they stopped the music and, like, I think what happened was everybody, like, assumed it was just like, oh, yeah, this kid's supposed to be on there. Like, he clearly knew what he was doing. He was dressed up like somebody who was supposed to be there.
Right.
And then he came up on the mic and said his thing and was like, oh.
It's messy.
Oh, no.
Messy. Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's not give him any more attention then. And, let's focus on the fact that, hey, Elden Ring won Game of the Year. That's sick.
Yes. Elden Ring won Game of the Year.
And I still stand by my fact that if it wasn't Elden Ring that was nominated this year, God of War Ragnarok would have gotten it. But Elden Ring, to me, for better or for worse, felt like the ultimate realization of the Dark Souls formula.
Mm-hmm.
It was... They took all the designerly stuff that they made in the Dark Souls games and put it in an open world. Now... Did they do it perfectly? No. Were they going to do it perfectly? No way in hell. There were parts of the games that were very, like, kind of cut and printy, especially the tombs. I think the tombs were probably the weakest part of the game, and I think anybody who has actually played Elden Ring would probably agree with that the tombs were very cut and print in terms of how they were designed in the game. If you don't factor in the broad repetitious aspect of the open world and you really dial in on the designed aspects of the open world, Elden Ring is a no doubter for Game of the Year. That's how I feel about it. It was so broad, it was so interesting to explore, and I think even in spite of the repetitious aspects, there was still something very interesting there that was very fun to explore and
absolutely.
And ingest. I feel a little bad for saying that only because I didn't play a lot of the other Game of the Year nominees. I did play Xenoblade 3. Xenoblade 3 fucking rules. But Elden Scrolls 3. If you want to just raw judge a game based on its mass appeal and its appeal in terms of the quality of the craft, it's probably still God of War Ragnarok, but Elden Ring, which is a Dark Souls game, is still really fucking high up there, and I would not fault anybody who did call it their Game of the Year for 2022.
Very good. So we're at the end of the show. It's time for you to tell people... not a recommendation. Just tell them where they can find you on the internet and if you have anything else to plug.
Yeah, sure. I would say, as always, but this is a relatively new thing, I have sort of taken a... I'm not sure if it's a hiatus or a indefinite hiatus, an indefinite break from Twitter. But for now, you can find me at paulsrockandpagoda.tumblr.com. And if you're interested in following me where I do Twitch streams, you can find me at twitch.tv/Bonzi77.
All right. Let's see if I can do this off the dome. As always, you can find me at KamiJace Gaming on Twitter. And you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well at WK Cooldown on Twitter as well. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news, other episodes, and reviews. Be sure to leave your own review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser or Spotify. That's where you can find the podcast. You can also find them everywhere else, but I don't think they have review platforms. So podcast do it on
your iPhone.
Yes. Do it on whatever those things are. Please. Thank you. God bless. Be sure to... Oh, no. What's the rest?
WKCooldown.com.
Be sure to check out the show notes. Our humble bundle for this week is listed in there. Remember, you can support your favorite charity and support the show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian. Follow Corgian at Doghouse Corgian on Twitter, DoghouseCorgian. And Riki on Twitter did our music. Follow Riki on Twitter, Dog_Noise, DoG_NOISE. That's all for the weekly cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
I'm Paul. I don't have a funny joke. I'm too drunk. Henderson.
And we'll see you next week. We'll see you just before the new year. Because we'll do our new year show. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right.